Hey, 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 welcome Patriots to First Team America, Patriot Network by Patriots for Patriots, and that's a Patriots across both sides of the aisle and from all walks of life. We're a open source of information, and our goal is to bring you censorship-free news and information. Today's podcast is going to be very informative. If you've been following the gun industry, if you're a supporter of the Second Amendment rights, you have seen since this COVID shutdown, and you've seen it in the news, of all of the rapid increase in firearm sales and ammunition. What's important to know is that we want to talk about why it's happening. Our guest is has so much information and experience, nearly 42 years in the industry, or over 42 years. He's attended how many SHOT Shows?
36
consecutive. Yep. He's been in this industry as a manufacturer, a sales representative, consultant, distributor. He's done it all. Traveled around the world. I've had the opportunity to travel with him. Great person, and just knows so much. But we want to also get into a lot of the details about the increase, where it had been in the past, and where is it going, both if for some way that Trump stays in office, what do we foresee? What does he foresee? And then if Biden comes in, what does it look like? All right, Patriot, we are not going to say his name. We're going to refer to him as Patriot. Why don't you give us a brief background on who you are and what you've done?
Yeah, well, I've been lucky to be so very blessed in this life to be able to get up every morning, go to work, over my career and my set career and beyond to today, and just absolutely love every day of it. There's not a lot of people that can say that, but that's one of the neat things about the firearms industry is the people are so great. You can be standing right next to the greatest product developer in the world, and you'd think you'd known him all your life. That's the way this industry works. There's very few people in this industry that are not really personable, shall I say. But I started it in 1980 with a major manufacturer of firearms and ammunitions. Started out as a field rep, became the ammunition product manager for a few years for that company. Went on to become the director of sales for the law enforcement, military, and federal agencies worldwide. That's where I actually retired after 26 years. And just in that little snippet of time, just got to be so exposed to so much. It was great. I then went from there to become a regional manager for a major company, of which one of the key products was Safariland Holsters. Absolutely world-class product. Then went on to work with a major handgun company and became their federal agencies manager for 3 years. After that little stint, I then became my own boss and started my own consulting business, which has gone on till for the last 7 years till to date, and had, again, just a ball helping people get to know people, introduce them to people, get their product up and running or their up and running, helping them from sales and marketing and you name it. I've, again, just been so blessed to get to do all that stuff. Now I'm a full-time hunter, peddler, and grandpa. So that's been really exciting here the last year, even though with this COVID craziness going on. I'm not one to have drunk the Kool-Aid. I'm just amazed at the people that are falling into this, but that's a podcast of its own that I would love to participate in one day. But just to kind of give a little bit more in depth, I've gotten to see things, you know, again, I started in the 80s. So by mid-80s, I was seeing the change from revolvers to pistols. I saw the big happening, everything that jacked up that went on from when Platt and Maddox opened up on the FBI in the 86, and all at once the need for semi-automatic pistols became big. 9mm really stepped up big time. People like the Secret Service was going from 357 Magnums to 9mm. Then it kind of went on. The FBI started playing with other calibers like 10mm and 40 caliber. Secret Service went to 357. Now you're into these major, major discussions between slow, heavy bullets and fast, light bullets. Looking at this weird pistol that came on into the market that was a plastic Tupperware, I might call it tactical Tupperware for many years. Gaston Glock came on board and just knocked Smith & Wesson and Beretta right off of their pedestals. I got to see that happen. That was some pretty fantastic stuff. Sniper rifles that came on board that people were literally had most of the federal agencies and police departments were using varmint rifles, literally. 223 and 308 varmint rifles, heavy barrel, 26-inch barrel rifles. And now, you know, they're using rifles today that are a mile and a half accuracy consistently. And the guys are capable. The shooters' talents are so phenomenal. But again, you got to have the right platform of gun and ammunition and then talent of the shooter to be able to do it. I've been able to work side by side and personally know people like Gene DeSantis, John Bianchi, Toxie Hayes from Mossy Oak, Gene Stoner and Reed Knight, famous holster manufacturers aside from DeSantis and Bianchi, but Bill Rogers and Tommy Campbell, two great guys. I mean, all these people are just, you sit down and just have dinner with them and they're fantastic people just to sit and talk with and rub elbows with. And just as, you know, like I say, you sit down with them and you think you've known them all your life. Other guys like Mike Knoll from Blackhawk, I literally saw him and worked side by side with him at one of his first shows when he was introducing his product and still building stuff out of his garage. Dan Costa from 511, what a Midas touch that man has. Famous lawmakers like Elmer Keith. Yeah, I go back that far. Bill yeah. Jordan, Jim Cirillo, people like that. Military legends. I worked side by side with Carlos Hathcock, federal agent, retired now Carl Kovacek, who holds the 1,000-yard Wimbledon record. You know, at that time in 1996, 1,000 yards with a 308 open sight I think he shot a perfect score, and 19 of the 20 bullets were in the X-ring, and that still holds. But I've just absolutely been blessed all my life to get to work with these people, see products developed. We can go into that a little later on if you want.
Oh, absolutely.
But, just tremendous stuff that has been in front of me all the time. And what a ball. What an absolute ball and blessing.
Absolutely. Well, I think you're being a little modest, you know, having known this Patriot for a couple decades now, when he was in charge of that federal director role of the federal or law enforcement sales. His team owned that market, basically. When I say owned, they were known everywhere. And
absolutely.
Yep. Even globally. That's some of the travels that we had done together there. So a lot has changed. What are you seeing when you look back? And again, the key part that we want to touch on today is the increase in the firearm sales, the ammunition. We'll address a few rumors. You know, I've heard a lot of people outside the industry not really sure of why they can't find stuff on the shelf. But you've seen a bunch. Have you seen any times like this with the Obama time or term where gun sales went through the roof to the present day of the COVID spike? Of course, the media, I researched a lot of articles online. The media is trying to say this COVID spike is not responsible for it. And articles such as the Brookings have always seem to try other variables in there that it's race related or things like that. I don't believe that at all, but they did have some good quotes in their article of studies they've done. But tell us a little bit about any cyclical turns or increases, decreases you've experienced.
Well, let's go way back a little bit again, just to touch back in the 80s when I first started. You could not give a 45, 230 grain full metal jacket bullet away. There was just no demand. It had totally stopped. And then to see here in the 2000, 2005, all at once, the 45 started coming back. And now, I mean, people are back in love with 45s. There's always been people in love with 45s, don't get me wrong. But it just was one of those cyclical things that happened that, man, you carried a 45, you were of a whole different breed. And that was one of the fun things that I got to see working with riders back in the industry, was you could be at a riders event, and especially at the cocktail parties, throw this grenade out. Well, what do you think about the slow, heavy bullets versus the, like a 45 230 versus a 357 SIG? And let me tell you, the fur would fly. it was so much fun. You put a little brown lubricant in them boys, and they could. It was hilarious. Just sit back and enjoy the evening. And I'm talking great writers that we all know and still read and hear from today. But it was just, that was always fun. But we saw a lot of things happen, back in the late 80s. We actually experienced a little bit of a shortage of 22s. And yet then within 10 years, we saw a mass production of 22s where literally 1 year, I saw our company make over a billion with a B 22 caliber bullets.
A billion 22 and caliber bullets,
a
huh?
A billion. Wow. That was the first time we'd ever hit that in 1 year. And that did not count what all the other 22 manufacturers were doing. They were doing the same thing. You couldn't make them and sell them fast enough. And that was back in the 90s. And then, again, it kind of slowed down a little bit. We got into 2000, 9/11 hit, 22s became very popular. I mean, people that know what they're doing are going to have plenty of 22s on hand.
Exactly.
Because that is a game round as well as a lethal round. So if used properly. So people would buy up 22s, and I think we can all remember what, back about 10 years ago, maybe, not even 10, during the Obama administration, 22s got really, really hard to find.
Oh, yeah.
And I personally believe that was a move on behalf of the manufacturers. They slowed their production because that had been such a commodity. 22s were, almost a dime a dozen, so to speak, as a saying, because, you could find them everywhere. They were cheap, but they were making a lot of them, but weren't making very much money on them. Well, this was the opportunity to turn that around. And a couple of the manufacturers, their products started to get harder. It was, I won't say there was collusion there, but it was like people were reading the tea leaves from each other saying, hey, this is the chance to get 22 ammunition back up into a better price point where we're making some money on it. Because I remember bricks of 22 selling for anywhere from $80 to $100 a brick. Do you remember that?
Yeah. And before they were very cheap. What was it? You could get a brick for between 10 and 20 bucks in the 90s.
No, $9.99. Yeah. And if you found the right place, you get it for $7.99 for a brick of 500 of the good stuff, not the promotional lead bullets, but I'm talking the coated decent product, the better grade product. It was, and I'm sitting there shaking my head thinking, gosh, I should have been stocking up on this. This is better than gold.
Precious metals, right? So,
that was happening.
Yeah. So in looking at that, you've definitely seen those cyclical turns and the increases.
Oh, yeah.
You know, let's talk about the Obama time, when the sales suddenly peaked for 8 years. And then let's talk about that doldrum that happened. You and I saw each other at a industry show. But what do you think greatly influenced the sales during the Obama term?
Well, what was going on then is very totally different from, not totally different, but definitely there were several things happening. During Obama, you had, number one, the threat of gun, not confiscation, but a scale back of the ability to get guns and ammunition.
Right.
So that he was by far the greatest gun and ammunition salesman the industry ever saw. You know, and it's been strong here lately. But as far as somebody to truly influence, hey, we got to get out and buy guns. And actually, not a lot really happened, but the threat of what could happen really got to people. But at that same time, Don, you were seeing what I would call a straightening of the course of ammunitions. We had gone from 8s and 357s in the 70s to 9mm in the 80s, when Platt and Maddox and the Miami shootout stirred everything and moved everybody from wheel guns to pistols.
Right.
And then we went to what I call the confused era, where we had 10 millimeters, 40s, you had everything in 40 caliber from 180 grain down to 155 grain. Right. You had people with the 10 millimeters, with the 357 SIG came on board, federal agencies, everybody had to be different. Secret Service went from plus P plus nines to 357 SIGs. So now you've got ammunition selling in all those calibers and all that happening. And really, 9mm took somewhat of a back seat because the other rounds were being developed much better performance. Jacket enhanced expansion handgun ammo versus hydraulic expansion, which was traditional, made a huge difference. But then you get into the end of the Obama era, and all at once people started realizing, well, you can have all these different calibers, but they're still doing about the same thing from a performance standpoint. If you can, and they got the 9mm up to where it was penetrating 13 to 15 inches without any problem. They had bonded bullets that would allow for the jacket to stay on the bullet and enhance the expansion. You had...
The 9mm seemed to take a big hit during the Gulf War, where complaints about full metal jacket round not stopping guys going straight through, not getting the damage they wanted. That seemed to follow it for a while, didn't it?
And at the same time, equated with 5.56 ammo.
Right.
Because you had this confusion. You had people trying to get a 6.8 SPC up and running. Well, you know, that they're still to this day, that was back in the early 2000s. And to this day, they're still trying to get that round up and running within the military. But yeah, the 9mm took a little bit of a backseat. But now look at what has happened in the last 3 or 4 years. And I'm not talking about anything political. I'm just talking strictly about the fact that the FBI has gone back to 9. It looks like the Secret Service is going to go back.
Yep.
ICE and Border Patrol, they're looking like they're going back to 9s. Of course, the military continues to use 9s. So that's where you got a major demand now for 9mm. Now, fast forward a little bit more into this COVID crap and delivery schedules, raw materials, people working at the level of lead mining and that sort of thing. But then the smelting of lead, the moving it on in to get it to the manufacturer so they can make bullets. Then you get to the lack of people because they're out on COVID. They can't, couldn't congregate, couldn't work together, all this stuff has had a culmination of what we are seeing in an ammunition shortage today.
Yeah. But Let me mention this. You know, you were the one that I asked about this early on during the rush for the Obama administration for people to buy guns, fearing that they would be confiscated or great rules and regulations would be put in place. We had the big ammo demand. I recall seeing lines out the door at the major big box stores where people were waiting for their brick of 22. But one of the other things that happened also was we had a moment of plateau. And you had told me when I asked you, I said, what do you see out there on this? And you said, it is make it as fast as you can. But once they catch up, there's going to be a glut. And that not only happened with ammunition, but black rifles. I remember we were at an industry show and the tables full of all of the entrepreneurs and new companies that make black rifles had tons of inventory sitting on it. And
absolutely.
You mentioned to me manufacturing has finally caught up. Now it's going to be companies falling off because they didn't save for a rainy day and they were selling at maybe lowest price, not looking at the future. And sure enough, that occurred. So you called that one well. Let me bring up this fact real quick. I studied the NICS check system. That's the FBI background checks. Get this. Yeah. 2018, there was 26 million background checks conducted. 2019, it was 28 million. And in 2020, it was 39 million background checks conducted.
My gosh.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
That is amazing. And ammo sales just in 2020, the first 6 months, were up 139% over the previous year.
Yeah.
But go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to provide some stats for the audience.
I did want to go back and reiterate also that during the 90s, when we had all that craziness of all the different ammunitions, manufacturers had trouble trying to figure out what to produce because you had some federal agencies and law police departments still using nines. A lot of them were at that time had moved to 40s. And I mean, none of them used 45s at that time to speak. And the 10 had been just a blip. So you had all this ammunition focus on different grain weights of 40 and 9mm. And it got to the point where the federal agencies, people were starting to rumor that the federal agencies were buying up all the ammunition.
Right.
Well, they weren't so much buying it up for the purpose of keeping it away from the public, so to speak. They were buying it to restock because they saw the potential of ammunition shortages down the road, and they wanted to have, you know, big agencies like Border Patrol and INS and Secret Service and DEA, FBI, those guys, they consume a lot of ammunition in their training and their practice.
And are they shooting?
So
are they shooting
they
their
train agents if they don't have ammo?
That's so, a great point. But let me ask you this:
they were buying it up, but not with the intent of buying it.
Right. We were just talking with our Patriot guest, who has over 40 plus years of experience, 38 consecutive SHOT Shows or 36. He has been involved in ammunition, firearms across the complete spectrum of roles and responsibilities in this industry. A lot of good information. So let's jump back in. We walked through a timeline of certain events that have influenced the supply and demand of the products such as firearms and ammunition. We haven't covered any accessories yet, and we will later, but we pointed out a couple of things. Just in 2020, in the first 6 months of the year, it was 139% increase in ammo sales over 2019. NICS ran 39 million background checks in 2020. To compare that against 2019, it was only 28 million. That is a huge increase. And let me cover this real quick, and we'll jump back into the COVID time now and in the increase. But let me cite you a couple of stats here. Just from January to June, there were 19 million firearms sold. That's from Brookings. Daily Caller reports in March, it was 3.7 million FBI gun checks. May was 3.1. And at the time, in June, 3.9 million FBI gun checks, and that was a 20-year record at that time. We're also looking at this. I had done some travel in the industry, visiting various stores and shops, hearing reports of all of the first-time buyers, and mostly Democrats.
Yes.
5 million first-time buyers, right?
Yeah.
And let me give you some more stats on those. So they said 58% of those 5 million first-time buyers were, they mentioned, black men and women, and 40% were women out of those 5 mil first-time buyers.
Yeah.
So take the floor. Tell us your thoughts on the on what spurred this COVID thing and how it's impacted the supply and demand.
Well, what spurred it is a whole nother game.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know that we necessarily want to go down that path. But
another
we'll
episode.
Stay in the ammunition. Yeah, stay in the ammunition and gun side of it, the industry side right now. But one of the things I was referring to back in the 90s was the fact that the federal agencies were buying more ammo. They had all different calibers that they were looking at, grain weights, and that had the manufacturers hustling there. Fast forward into 2000 and the Obama era, people were buying ammo and guns because they thought there was a little bit of a fear there that maybe the Obama administration would restrict that sort of thing. Well, they weren't very successful, fortunately. Turned out they were the best salespeople we could ever had in the industry. Now then we get into 2020 and COVID hits. Now you've got the regular, you're about to go into the new year, SHOT Show, all of that that was gonna happen, and all that got canceled. And that threw a little bit of a wrench in the gears. But what happened to, in my opinion, the most was to slow down the ammunition, was just the country slowed down the raw material supply, then the employees at the manufacturers to be able to run the machines. You know, you could only run so many with so many people.
Exactly.
You had one major manufacturer totally going bankrupt and getting out of it. That threw a huge wrench in the ammunition gears.
Oh, yeah.
Then the mindset for the ammunition need was no longer federal agencies and commercial, because I believe the federal agencies were able to get caught up and stockpile what they needed to maintain their training and qualifications.
Let me ask you a question. Let's jump back to one industry show. We don't have to mention the name, but it happens in November, October, and the last one was up in was it Pittsburgh or Philadelphia? Pittsburgh. I think during that event, during that show, that was part of a plateau where, and in fact, it was where sales weren't rocketing like the Obama term, and a lot of companies had to come to grips with trying to get an accurate forecast because most of the forecasting was based on a spike. So trying to find the real numbers proved a challenge. But during that particular show, I recall hearing from some vendors, especially concerning ammunition, that one of the companies was almost giving it away because they had so much excess inventory. And that was unique to hear at that time when we look back and see it at the present day.
Well, and to couple with that, at that same time, the one manufacturer that is out of the business today, Remington, they were actually slowing way down on their productions, it was not a bad thing because ammunition sales had slowed down. Gun sales, especially on the black rifle side, had really slowed down. I mean, you talk about people giving them away. There was a difference between black rifle manufacturers and black rifle assemblers. There was a buttload of assemblers.
Yeah, absolutely.
There.
Yeah.
And so therefore, a lot of those guys in 20, even at the end of 2018, but especially 2019, really fell off big time. That market was saturated.
Sure.
And it was also saturated by low-end AR platform rifles. I just call them black rifles. I don't know if that's racist or not. I don't think so, but black rifles matter too. So anyway, we've got you had that going on, but the industry itself, everybody was moving from a consulting standpoint. I was moving everybody to every kind of accessory they could sell because the rifle and ammunition sales, you could find anything on the shelf at the end of 2019. That's because, again, you did not have the political threat for the last few years with Trump in office. that the politicians were going to come after the guns, even though they tried to, the Democrats tried to fan the flames on every shooting and everything that happened. It still comes down to a lot of it was their fault. You start making gun-free zones, and those are the places that were attacked, obviously.
Sure.
So, you know, and then you're it's just things like that that created turmoil, but it hadn't, they still hadn't peaked. They were trying to find ways to limit the NRA, to stop gun sales, and really there was plenty of guns and ammunitions out there. You hit 2020 and COVID hits, there's still quite a few guns in the warehouses. There is still quite a bit of ammunition, but the ammunition started moving out pretty quickly because the concern, as I'm going back and talking about the federal agencies there and the law enforcement, they weren't needing stockpiles. They had bought enough to hold them through their training and quals with a surplus years looking ahead. But the people that needed the ammunition was the consumers that had the firearms, that wanted to build up their have a little more extra ammo, as well as what you just talked about, the extreme increase in new gun purchases.
Exactly.
Now you look at what you said, 5 million new
first-time
users.
Gun buyers. And
okay. Now,
minorities, a major portion of that, women.
Yeah, I'm going to take a real quick number here. You take 5 million times one box of ammunition is 250 million rounds of ammo.
Yeah.
That's one box. That's if they only bought one box of 50-round ammo.
Right.
And most of them were buying more. That is a huge spike of new purchases on top of then people that were buying. And I'm not going to call them hoarders. Gee, I have always had extra ammo, so I can always go out and plink and play. You know, in times like this when ammo is hard to get a hold of, I still like to continue to train and practice and shoot. So I'm always going to have extra.
Absolutely.
But, you know, but that was a where you don't have the equation or the equation factor of federal agencies and law enforcement buying up surplus ammo.
So address that rumor then. Some had mentioned, and I don't, I dispel it as well, but, you know, some are thinking, somebody spread a rumor that the government's trying to hoard 9 mil is why you can't find it. And
I don't believe that at all. I've not seen anything to document or justify that from my standpoint. Again, I saw it when they were buying to get caught back up because some of them had kind of gotten a little short on their needs. And if anything, when the only reason the federal government would have been buying any extra per se was because the Trump administration supported law enforcement.
Exactly.
Where the Obama administration, you know, was constantly poo-pooing it. So you cut funds in law enforcement. You know, what's the first thing they cut is training and you know, typically it falls into the guns and ammunition side. They cut back on the qualification and training time. But because Trump was allowing funds and budgeting to come into federal and other law enforcement agencies and communities, that they had to buy more. But that didn't shift. That didn't move the needle like the new gun buyers did.
Absolutely.
Not even close.
Exactly. I recall being in the stores and watching new buyers come in and asking questions. A lot of the I did have some concerns from some of the owners that said, it's just alarming to see the number of first-time buyers and the women that are scared based upon current events. But hey, thank God for that Second Amendment. Now let's jump into something else, because we are definitely going to have you back on if you're willing for that. Because I think what's going to be important to do is maybe decide upon the frequency of this State of the Union of the industry, so that consumers and others in the industry might be able to get the real truth out there and not the media's interpretation. When I say the media, the lamestream media, First Team America, the Patriot Network, is dedicated to bringing out censorship-free information straight from patriots like the one we have today to make sure we can cut through the fluff and get you the real stuff here. So let's talk about this. Give me your predictions on what you think is going to happen in 2020 if Trump maintains office and if Biden takes over.
Uh-oh. I kind of lost you on that. What's going to happen in 2020 and again?
Well, can you give us your thoughts on what does 2021 look like? Sorry, 2021. What's your prediction if Trump maintains the presidency, or what happens after Biden's sworn in? What are you seeing out there?
Well, obviously a huge swing of the pendulum, but I still believe Trump will end up for the next 4 years as our president.
I hope
strictly
so.
Because we have had. How can you have such blatant dishonesty and fraud and expect that to stand?
Somehow, and the courts ignore it, right?
And I know we're right down to the wire, but there are still arrows in that man's quiver that I believe he's yet to fire that will help save our Constitution. I mean, literally, this is such a huge constitutional issue that if we allow some of this stuff to happen and it goes on, we'll never have another fair election ever, not to mention what else happens within the judicial and executive branches.
Well, so that's a good point. And think about this. We all need to be covering up the president in prayer, pray for this country, we just need to keep it covered up in prayer. But think about this. As you give us your idea what 2021 looks like, you know, you look at the Supreme Court. There are several, in fact, I say more than several, there's a bunch of cases that they've refused to hear on the Second Amendment rights.
And I do not understand that at all.
I don't
why
either.
They won't. I just shake my head I personally built a firearm for Clarence Thomas. I've got his picture in it. Thank you for everything you do here in my office. And I am amazed that when that went through, about 30 days ago, when they refused, he and Alita refused to hear the what was it, Texas's suit against the other states that had violated the constitutions, not only the Constitution, but their state constitutions. That hurt me.
Wait a minute. I think Alito and Thomas were the sole dissenters in that. What wasn't it?
Maybe I'm.
That's what I thought. We'll have to look into that one. But
Might have to. Maybe I've got that confused.
Yeah.
They were the ones that said, "Yeah, we won't hear this."
Yeah. We'll have to look at
that
one. Yeah.
I could have it wrong, but that's the way I interpreted it hurt my heart because, like I said, we've got so many great conservative, what I believe are Christian-based Supreme Court members now that they're strong, God-believing patriots.
Yep.
That just amazes me that they don't stand up and say, "Hold it here. This is so wrong."
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I may have had that part wrong.
Well, that's okay. Just jump.
I'm still not taking his picture down because I still think guys like him are what's going to help save us.
That's right. Give us your prediction. What's it look like out there in 2021?
Well, you look at then if Biden does take office, if that happens, it's almost no holds barred on what those and they'll have the Senate and the House. It's going to be one ugly situation, way uglier than when Obama and the Democrats had the presidency, House and Senate in his first term. That was child's play compared to what's going to happen in 2021 and beyond when for the next 4 years. We've already heard it. We've already seen it with, I'm drawing a blank on her name, that just introduced bill to try to comp, to start everybody's got to re-register their guns,
right?
And ammunition. No, that's not going to happen.
No, not even
the American pop. The Patriot American is not going to do that. But and plus, we've already done it once, as far as the guns go.
Exactly.
But then you look at their mindset, which I can't even begin to wrap my mind around. I always get a kick out of Rush talking about trying to tell everybody who the liberals really are. And it is hard to wrap your mind around, other than the fact that, in my opinion, people that don't have God in their life don't understand what this world is really all about.
Exactly. And they're not liberals. That's, you know, they want to use that term as if they're open-minded, but they're really authoritarians.
Right.
Look at how they want to shut things down. And that's a great point. You mentioned, you know, we're watching the First Amendment being destroyed.
Oh.
And people are losing jobs. They're doxing people. My wife returned from travel to a city, and they had organized a protest against the owners because they posted some things that weren't inflammatory on their personal page, and one of their so-called friends said it out there. The next day they had protests, and now the people are losing their business and their home. That is just unfair. That's not the way things should go. And I agree with you. I see more of that coming out to the fact that they're not just going to try to get you out of your job, but also out of your mortgage and stop your ability to conduct business. There's a whole bunch of scary things with this administration, but continue, please. What else are you seeing?
Well, it's just, again, you look at the fact that evil has become good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at it and you go back to Isaiah 5:20, and I'm just going to go ahead and quote it here or read it. Destruction to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The Lord's going to have his day on this.
Right.
But the bottom line is we're seeing that. We're seeing people like we've never seen before that are totally blinded to right and wrong. And you look at the foundation of this country, I'm just amazed. I think you and I were even talking about it the other day, but I've had this discussion with several people about how our founding fathers could not have possibly come up with this stuff on their own.
Oh, yes,
they were
exactly.
guided by the hand of God. And that's why they have all over Washington, D.C., all over the documents, all over our money, in God we trust. All of that was because they knew who and why our Creator had us here. And we have strayed so far from that if we don't get back to our biblical standings, then there's going to be a reckoning.
No doubt.
It's there, both a physical and spiritual reckoning. There's got to be. But that the Biden administration, I mean, I just sit here in amazement thinking all those young people that protested the old white guy Washington mentality, and what did they put in office?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, they put it in illegally. There's no doubt. I mean,
a career politician who, hey, and remember some of his statements? You ain't black if you don't know who to vote for.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I mean, God, what an insult!
Stuff like that is amazing that these people aren't going crazy.
Yeah,
that he is even. They should be the ones, you know, creating the protests, right alongside of all of us that are the patriots that see what's happening to our country. So, it's going to be an interesting ride. But I am still. I'm one of the holdout. I've got friends that are just, you are out of your mind, dude. That he has no chance. No, I have always felt.
Trump, you mean Trump?
Three chess moves ahead of the Democrats out there, and I still believe that. And it will, even with what has happened, the blatant fraud and corruption that happened in the election. Crimey, what a laughing stock America has become, because there are third world countries that pull off better elections than what we've just had. And that's amazing to me.
Yeah. If you've seen the the interview with, don't want to get his name wrong, but Juvon Pulitzer, the guy who invented the Q code, and pointed out all of the physical discrepancies on the mail-in ballots. He described simple stuff. See, it's just like my Patriot guest didn't mention, but he's been involved in numerous great rounds for law enforcement at his previous company. And when you look at how do they test that, there's all kinds of test metrics for ammunition to gauge its success. And just as when there's a crime committed, there's the ability to do a forensic test. Well, it's just like with the ballots. Okay.
Same thing.
Yep. Absolutely. You can do a forensic test on the actual paper copies as well as the digital. And America was denied its due process to expose and look at both of those. You would think that every politician who runs for office would want that to be even so they couldn't have something stolen from out from underneath them. But the points that Jovan pointed out dealt with the simplest of things, like when a human takes a pen and marks a ballot, there's press-down marks and lift-off marks, and the shading's not complete. And he really pointed out the difference between the computer shading, which is printing. Entirely complete and shaded.
But one was evenly printed and shaded, you're right.
But, you know, to deny the American public their right to have that shown in court and to investigate it is really a disgrace and... You know, it defies logic. It's kind of like the FBI sitting on Hunter Biden's laptop, deciding that Hillary conducting national security business from her home email server, the destroying the hard drives with bleach bit and hammers, and then to see that SCOTUS is not going to take up a case involving the highest election, most important in this country's history, and they deny to hear any of those things and will only take it up after the inauguration. So, and that's why I wanted to have you on, not only for to get your perspective on this, but you've seen a lot of stuff, you've lived through a lot of times here, and you know from past administrations that we've seen that this administration poses the greatest risk to the industry as well as to the Second Amendment right and the First Amendment right.
Way, way greater than anything we've ever seen. And the reason for that is because we have continued to allow the illegal to just float on by.
Right. You know, exactly.
You look at what all happened with Hillary Clinton and just her issues alone, not even to go into any of the other clowns that were participating in all the spying of Trump and all that, just to look at her history. I don't care if it's Benghazi or anything else that she's done. That person, she should be in jail.
I know.
Plain and simple. I'm not a lawyer, but I can sure as thunder tell you that woman should be in jail.
Exactly.
We just let it go. You know, it's the old, my wife always used the frog in the boiling water. You know, you just put him in and let it heat up a little at a time, And finally, he gets to the point where it's so hot and he's burning up and he's boiling up and he's too weak to get out of the water and he dies. Well, there you go. We're getting at a pretty hot thermal point right now.
Well,
if we don't do something, we're not going to get out of the water.
That is a great point. I think that ties in from what we're discussing in with these, just what you mentioned, excellent point, that like with the COVID lockdowns, there should not be a lockdown at this point. Suddenly flu is gone. Yeah. I know we started talking about the gun stuff, but all of this plays into the purchasing. You know, you can't say that the COVID lockdowns did not influence the guns. You know, we forgot to cover one important point, and I want to cover that now. The largest increase I attribute to the gun sales, my opinion, is due to the Democrat-promoted and influenced riots that tore this country apart over the summer, that they kept crying for violence. We've got numerous audio bites, video bites of the Dems calling for violence. I want to call it out. I'll put it out there right now. I think the Capitol, the protests at the Capitol were influenced. It was an orchestrated event through Antifa and other Democrats. That's going to be determined later. But everybody can see from the firsthand eyewitness reports there that with videos taken that it appears that certain people are being led into the building. And what I want to point out that's basically a false flag event used to vilify Trump and all his supporters. I'm concerned a bit about what the Dems have in place to try to vilify conservatives, gun owners, Christians, you name it. And just based upon what we've heard them say as far as plans, but, you know, this has been a great podcast here. We're going to, this is First Team America Patriot Network, and we're so pleased that you took time from your day to come aboard. We could go on for hours, and in fact, that's why I think if you're willing to do this, we should try to jump back on in another week or so and do another call. Would you be open to that?
Oh, yeah, whenever you're – well, in another week, we'll have so much more new material.
Exactly. Exactly.
It would be crazy.
Any closing absolutely. Words for the Patriots out there?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Patriots – and I would tell you, in my own opinion, probably 99.9% of you are Christian, God-believing people. And, you know, even when times start getting bad, just keep showing, hey, you know God's in control. Keep your faith up. Keep your spirit up. Keep lifting people up and letting them know that, hey, God's got this covered. That's the main thing I keep Amen. Thinking of every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, once again, thank you so much for being part of this. To all our listeners out there, please tell a friend about this podcast from First Team America Patriot Network. Again, we're patriots from both sides of the aisles of all walks of life. And our goal at this network is to get real information out there that hasn't been prepared by lamestream media or their take on it or their paid and bought talking heads. What we're doing is trying to get the word out about things that are important to us. Once again, First Team America, Patriot Network. You can find us at Parler. Well, when they get back online, Gab, and major podcast outlets. We thank you so much. God bless you all.